right, let me just give you a reading. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. That reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4-11. I like the word, it appeared there, isn't it? The manifestation of the Spirit. I like the word manifestation. To manifest something is to make clear or obvious to the eye, seeing it, or to the mind, perceiving it. It's to show a quality or feeling by one's actions or appearance. Manifestation's origins are actually in religion and spirituality. In the term of something spiritual becoming real, it is said to be a manifestation. And how true that is, isn't it? How true that is when we think of the manifestational spiritual gifts God gives. God gives us these gifts, and in our lives, they are demonstrated in very real ways to a needy church and to a needy world. And what I primarily mean by needy is a greater need for Jesus. This morning, you've already guessed, we'll be starting to look at the manifestation spiritual gifts, starting with prophecy. But before I get into prophecy, let's first consider what this set of gifts are and what this set of gifts are not. The first thing to note is the main difference between a motivational gift and a manifestation gift. Both have that supernatural quality, but the manifestation gifts tend to be more visible. They tend to be more visible in that supernatural area, hence the word manifestation. Seeing somebody being raised from the dead appears a little bit more dramatic, doesn't it, than maybe serving somebody with tea or coffee, which in itself wouldn't attract much attention unless the tea and coffee happened to be the cause of death in the first place. I've drunk bad coffee, but I've not drunk that bad coffee. A motivational gift is given to every believer in Christ. I've previously said, haven't I, that this happens at the point of conversion and that they receive just one, which I'm more than happy for you to disagree with me. But the manifestation gifts, they can be given to anyone, and the limit doesn't have to be one. There are many instances in the Bible that we read of the disciples of Jesus moving in more than one manifestation gift. The Apostle Paul clearly had the gift of prophecy and healing, word of knowledge, speaking in tongues, and working of miracles. There are even examples of people using these gifts when they don't belong to Christ. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, we read, "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me." A motivational gift is how God works in a believer to shape their perspective on life and motivates their words and actions. In essence, these motivational gifts mold and shape ministries. And they do this in a long-term way. But with the manifestation gifts, they can come at any time. When God feels it's necessary to bring in another dimension or aid to help us in any given situation. And I use the phrase, "when God feels it's necessary," and not us, because all the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. They're gifts when he desires and wills it to happen. Even if we feel, say for example, the gift of healing, it'd go down quite well, wouldn't it, if we were praying for somebody with a life-threatening illness. You see, the gifts aren't something that we can conjure up like a magician. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, all these, that is the manifestation gifts, are works of the one and the same Spirit, as he distributes them to each one, just as he, that is God, desires. The first thing is we must remember that manifestation spiritual gifts are not rewards. They're not payments. They're not a measure of one's favor with God. They're not a measure of one's spiritual maturity. And just as a side note, I think a good measure of one's spiritual maturity, not the only one, but I think it's a good measure of one's spiritual maturity, is when we hold up our life to the life of Jesus and see how much we have been changed to become more like him. A good benchmark to begin with is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How much and in what quality and quantity are those things in our lives? It's a good starting point to how spiritually mature we are. Anyway, the manifestation spiritual gifts are to equip the body of Christ, the church. That's us. We are the church. It's to express the fullness of God, to express the fullness of his love to the world. They are given to benefit believers and unbelievers, and obviously the key word there is benefit. They are to benefit. These gifts represent the work God does through the life of a person. And that's in any sort of given situation. And it demonstrates God's supernatural power in that situation. I don't know if you remember, but last week I said some people refer to the manifestation gifts as the power gifts, the power gifts. You may refer to them like that, and that's fine. I don't personally like that phrase for a couple of reasons. Firstly, by using the word power, it could imply something more important or superior. We cannot rate the manifestation gifts as more important than, say, the motivational gifts. Both have that supernatural element. Both come from the same Spirit, the same God. Admittedly, the manifestation gifts can be a lot more visible, but more powerful or important? I think not. Secondly, by using the term power gifts, it may imply, like sort of any Christian who tends to maybe operate a little bit more in these areas, somehow is a little bit more powerful. And they may not think it themselves. Sometimes they could, but they may not think it themselves. But others could. And this could lead to others putting their faith in the super Christian that does amazing things, and it could make people lose their focus to where the gifts come from in the first place. The glory is always to go to God. The Apostle Paul tells us that not everyone has all the spiritual gifts. And there isn't anything in Scripture that tells us how many manifestation spiritual gifts a person could receive. And that's a good thing, because it means that we need to rely on each other. Each member of the body of Christ needed to bring the different gifts, God gifts, to build up the body. And we're also not ticking off the gift to-do list, so to speak. You know, we're not thinking that we have some more to come because we haven't got up to our allotted quota, because there isn't one. But even though the gifts are given as God desires, it's God's will that we should have them. This should not undermine a certain level of responsibility for us to desire them or to pursue them or to eagerly want them or pray for them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. In this particular regard, Paul is talking particularly about prophecy. But desiring any gift for the sole purpose of showing God's love and giving him all the glory is what it should be about. Not exclusively, but the clear majority of examples in the New Testament when people use the manifestation gifts God has given them, it was to demonstrate Christ's love to the unbeliever. That they were a sign of God's kingdom breaking through, pointing people to Jesus. Great story, you probably know it, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came down and all who received it started speaking in tongues and other strange languages. And when Peter addressed the crowd to explain what was happening, he used this incident to point to Christ and not to use the attention of the crowd to sensationalize, to make the spiritual gifts something great. It was to explain the gospel. He used that moment to point people to Christ. And it worked out quite well for him, didn't it? With 3,000 people added to that number that very day. So, to sum up, the manifestational spiritual gifts are gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. Hopefully you've picked that one up by now. Anyone can receive any number of gifts as God determines. It's up to him. takes the pressure off a bit, doesn't it? Don't you think? We don't, you know, it's up to God. Yes, yeah, we should be praying for them, but it's God who does the work in us. They can be for a long season, days, months, or years, or they could just be for a moment, a one-time only event, as God desires. And most importantly, we must remember that they are for equipping the body of Christ, the church, to express the fullness of God's love to the world. They build us up and point people to Christ. So over the next few weeks, we will be looking at each gift in more detail. But today, let's just take a quick look at the manifestation gift of prophecy. Just to recap on last week, prophecy is a lot more than just predicting the future. It can involve that, but it's not the main focus. It's about seeing into a situation and people's motives, having an insight and supernatural ability to see things exactly the way they are. It's mainly about encouraging people, but it also could include some gentle correction and warning about the sin in somebody's life. All these things are inspired thoughts directly from the mind of God. Wow. Inspired thoughts directly from the mind of God. The motivational gift of prophecy given to someone inspires their actions and thoughts. It's one of their driving forces that motivates the ministries they do. I said that last week. Just also to say, let's not forget that our primary driving force in anything we do should be Jesus' love for us and our love for him. However, the manifestation gift, not motivational, but the manifestational gift of prophecy, even though it's all those things I've just previously said, it's not what drives or motivates us in what we do. It's something that's just given to us to help us in certain situations as determined by God. Remember, the it's a gift, and like all other gifts, we don't conjure them up. God gives as he determines. I said last week that prophecy can be very controversial. It can be a little unnerving, can't it, if you are on the receiving end of somebody telling you that they may have a word from the Lord. And, you know, we might be thinking to ourselves, oh my goodness me, is this a rebuke? Is this a correction? Is this going to, you know, are they about to reveal some secret sin in my life that I should stop doing? So you can imagine it could be a little bit unnerving. A group of believers receiving a prophecy for the fellowship, if it's not an encouraging word, may respond in a way that's not honouring to God. After all, no one likes being told off, do they? If you or a fellowship receives a prophetic word, even if they're encouraging words, some simple rules should be followed. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he wrote, "Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good." So, firstly, does the word align? Does it agree with Scripture? The word of God as written in the Bible is our ultimate benchmark to test any prophecy. False prophets, however, can be very clever, and they may twist or take Bible verses out of context to fit their narrative. Just like Satan did. Remember Satan when he tried to tempt Jesus in the desert and he took the Bible verses out of context? Jesus knew his Bible and he said, "No, begone, Satan." We need to be very careful. We need to consider who is delivering the prophetic word. Does their life match up to somebody who is following Jesus? Are they displaying the fruit of the Spirit in their life? You may not know these things. So somebody else who has moved in the gift of prophecy or discernment, and discernment is another gift we'll be covering later, but just to say that discernment is about distinguishing between different spirits, what is good and what is bad. Those sort of people may have some help in these situations. Another important aspect is how the prophetic word is delivered. Does the person come with humility and gentleness, or do they shout out, "Turn or burn"? Jackie's favourite phrase there, isn't it? Their attitude should be one of not exactly doubt, but their mind should certainly be one of, I could be wrong. Even, and this is what I said at the beginning, that even encouraging words should be tested. An encouraging word could still throw God's plans off track. So, say for example, the fellowship was involved in a soup kitchen, just for example, and someone came with the word from the Lord, basically saying, "Well done, God's pleased." There may be a little bit more detail thrown in there, but for the sake of this example, the fellowship could consider this a green light to continue, even expand their operation. But in reality, the word wasn't from God, because God wants the fellowship to put their resources into something else. And I know that's quite a very simplistic example, but I hope you sort of get my meaning in this. All prophetic words need to be tested to counter any abuses of power somebody might wield over a fellowship or a person wanting their way and not God's way. A prophetic word for someone or a fellowship could be receiving from God over a period of time, or it could be in an instant. It can take many forms. It could be a picture of something that springs to mind. It could be a Bible verse with or without extra verbal explanation into what it could mean for the person concerned. It could be just an impression or feeling in your mind that you're able to verbalize. You may actually hear the audible voice of God. You may just know what to say to that person or fellowship. If you think that you may have a prophetic word for someone or the fellowship, then the first thing to do is to pray about it. This could mean a lengthy 2 weeks on your knees with a whole lot of fasting thrown in. Or it could just mean a quick 30 seconds. It just depends, doesn't it? It depends on the situation you find yourself in and the nature of the prophetic word. You may want to share it with someone else, a group of people first. And I would always advise, especially if the word is a warning or a rebuke, to do that. If it's for the fellowship, then a good place to start sharing would be with the leadership first. And obviously, the leadership, the people that you share it with, must share some of the responsibility in testing that word and coming to a conclusion whether that word is from God or whether it's not. And to be honest with you, it's health. It's not a bad thing to say, well, actually, we don't really know. Is it, isn't it? As long as it's not forgotten, you know, we don't put it on the back burner and just forget about it. As long as we carry on the process of testing. Sometimes these things don't need to be rushed. Like I say, it's going to be helpful, if possible, to seek out people who have been recognized in using the prophetic gift or the gift of discernment in the past. And that might be a useful starting point. And like I've said, the leadership obviously needs to be involved as well. Three important things always to remember when giving a prophetic word. Always give the word with humility. Always give the word with gentleness. And number three, give the word. Give the word. At the very least, tell somebody so they can pray into it as well. Because who is ever 100% sure that it's a word from God? I would be surprised if anybody ever, certainly in modern times. I think even the Old Testament prophets, they were sometimes sackcloth and ashes, weren't they? And they received words from the Lord, but, you know, they just prayed into it so much because, you know, whether it was a didn't want to deliver it or they were a little bit unsure. The last thing we want is for God to speak and for us to ignore it or be unaware that he has because no one has spoken out. The manifestation gift of prophecy can be a little scary from the point of view of both delivering and receiving a word. God actually using me or you to deliver a message directly from his thoughts, or God actually giving me or you a personal message from him. I mean, that can be very exciting, can't it? Very encouraging, very re-energizing. And when I've been on the receiving end of a prophetic word from the Lord, my experience has certainly been one of excitement and re-energizing. But currently, you know, all of them have been one of encouragement. I've had no rebukes or warnings yet. Please be gentle if you've got a rebuke or warning for me, please. I've also delivered quite a few prophetic words to others from the Lord myself, or what I believe were from the Lord. Some resonated with people, and I'm sure some didn't. I've never rebuked or given a warning, but obviously there's a first time for everything for that, isn't it? So, you know, watch out. No, I don't mean that. I've already said the prophetic main focus is not about predicting the future. But I have experienced both receiving and delivering a word of that nature. It's not about thus says the Lord, and if you don't stop doing, or you better start doing, depending on the situation, then I'm going to be sending my avenging angels to sort you out. You know, it's not like that. Let me just give you the one and only example I have in my life about delivering a prophetic word that predicted the future just to give you a feel of what it could look like. I'm not saying it. This is the, you know, there's loads of different things out there, but this just gives a feel of what it could look like. Some years ago, I happened to be praying in a small group, and there was three of us. We split up into three, and it just so happened it was actually a training session on speaking in the prophetic. And we were all encouraged to pray out loud for each other and to say whatever we felt that the Lord was saying to that particular person. Now, we gave each other permission to do this, so that sort of helped the proceedings. You know, we were all expecting if we received something. And I can't quite remember the exact words, because it was many, many years ago. Can't quite remember the exact words, but I prayed for somebody in the group. And I started praying out fairly non-committal, you know, as you do. But then it got a little bit more specific. I haven't got a clue where it came from. But I found myself just started to pray out that, you know, that the Lord had them in their hands, but something tragic was going to happen to them. It's not something you want to give to anybody, is it, really? So I was very nervous when I was doing that. And afterwards, this was a great thing, you see, because when you pray, you know, it's good to encourage. I was pleased she did. She came up to me, and she asked, you know, could I give some clarity to that? You know, the where and the when and the what. But all I got was that whatever it was, it'd be soon. But most of all, I stressed that they would get through it, because the Lord would not desert them, even if they felt like he had. And obviously, I said, please pray into that, because obviously, pray into it, ignore it. I'm far from 100% sure that it actually, you know, was from the Lord. That week, her father, out of the blue, died of a massive heart attack. Ultimately, it was a message of encouragement given. It showed that God cared and was concerned, that he's always there in times of trouble. He never leaves us to be alone, even if sometimes we feel that that's the case. The person found comfort in the long process of bereavement in being reminded of that. What would have happened if I'd been disobedient and not given the message? Now, some may say, why didn't God stop it happening in the first place? Well, that's a whole other sermon, hopefully to be preached soon. The question to ask this morning is not whether you have the manifestational gift of prophecy. It's, if you receive it, are you going to be brave enough, humble enough, gentle enough, wise enough to use it properly? Next week gift to be covered is the gift of wisdom. So hopefully we'll learn a little bit more of the importance of godly wisdom and its benefits to us in serving him in all things, including prophecy. The manifestation gift of prophecy can be given by the Holy Spirit to everyone. The Apostle Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Sometimes we're not eager. But sometimes it's necessary to be brave. I leave you this morning with a quote from a guy, Jack Deary. He's wrote a few books. He's a pastor, author, and theologian. And this quote is about all the spiritual gifts in general, all of them, not just prophecy, but all of them. And I thought it was quite poignant. Sometimes when you have spent a long time rejecting the gifts of the Spirit and come to believing them, You almost feel as if you are being born again. You feel as if you have a whole new Bible. By that latter statement, I mean that the Gospels and the Acts come to alive for you in a way that they have never have before. Things that you had relegated to the first century now become a possibility for today's church. Let's pray.